studied on this and meditated on this, I began to think about what Peter said to Jesus when he said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." And then Jesus, for 3 years, taught those disciples what it really means to grab hold on the words of eternal life. And as he's going around teaching everywhere, here comes this young man. Look at this today. And what it says in the 17th chapter of the book of Mark. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" What can I do to inherit eternal life? The word inherit means, what can I do to be an heir to the words of eternal life? That's what he's saying. The word eternal means an heir. He's saying, what can I do to be an heir to eternal life? I'm reminded of what Paul said, and we'll get into this a little bit further here in just a moment as we think on these words today. But listen to what the Apostle Paul said concerning this in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Let's look at verse 15. And then we're going to get back to the conversation between Jesus and one man. Anyone that ever gets saved, it will be a conversation between you and Jesus. If you're going to find eternal life, it'll be between you and Jesus and Him only.
Amen.
Now, when we see here that this young rich ruler, when he was asking Jesus, "What can I do?" And in another case, it talks about in the book of Matthew, the same account, he says, "What good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" I'm telling you, there's nothing that you can do that's good enough. But I can tell you this, that when you understand the words of the eternal life and Jesus reveals that to you, there's something that is spiritual and supernatural that will take place. Amen. That's what Paul says. And when you become an heir to Jesus Christ, it's because we're not born in as Jews, but we're born again as a Jew and become an Israelite and adopted by God Himself.
Yeah.
Listen to what this says. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" He said the Spirit Himself, I don't like the word itself, it's Himself. "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God," he says, "and if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." He says, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." He said, "For I reckon." Now this is what we're going to look at. The words of eternal life. When you look at the word reckon, you know what that means? It means to add up the sum. It means to add up the sum of everything that we're talking about. All of these words, they equal 100% God and the Holy Spirit. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." When you become a joint heir with Christ, I'll tell you, there's glory. Hallelujah. And He saves our soul and writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Let's get back to what He said here. He says, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? What can I do to become an heir to eternal life? And our subject is the words of eternal life. And keep in mind, brothers and sisters, we still have the words of eternal life, and we need to know what they are and what they mean and how to interpret them so that others can find out when they text us or call us and say, "You got something that I don't have." I'll tell you what we've got is we've understood through the Holy Spirit the words of eternal life.
Amen.
That's what we got. I don't want to overcomplicate this. It's really simple, but yet it's spiritual. And there's words in the Bible that we need to make sure that we understand, and so a lost person can understand that they can have access to these words still, even though Jesus is not here. I've got the end in mind. You know, like the seven habits, I got that end in mind where I want to get to. And it get to that witness, you see, because Jesus left the church. He left God called men to expound upon the words of eternal life, and we need to make sure that we're doing it exactly the way Jesus would want us to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God." He says this. He said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." Verse 20. This is what Jesus said to him. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth up." He said, then Jesus, upholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." All from the question, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Follow after Jesus with all you got.
Amen.
And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and he said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished of the measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Who can be saved? "Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," is what the Bible says. Those are words of eternal life. Now listen, he goes on and follows up with this. He says, Jesus said to them, "With men it is impossible, but with God," he said, "for with God all things are possible." Then Peter spoke up again, and he began to say unto him, "Lo, we've left all and have followed thee." I think sometimes that's what we have been in this way for so long, that we're forsaking the world. We're doing this. We're trying to hold on. It seems like we're trying to hold on with everything we got to keep this the word of eternal life, to continue to go out. And sometimes it just gets to a point, as it's already been said, where we just got to go after them one at a time. Just like Jesus took the time for this one man. He took the time for me.
Amen.
And he'll take the time for you that's
Amen.
Here tonight and lost. But listen to what Peter said. He said, "We've left all and have followed thee." And look at here. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that had left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." And listen to this. "But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions." I'll tell you, the persecution may have started, but it may get more rapid. It may get worse and worse. There where we have to go and witness to just one individual at a time. But listen to what he says. "With persecution and in the world to come." The world to come what? Eternal life is what Jesus said. Brothers and sisters, we're in that time.
Yes, sir.
"And many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Listen, with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. He says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Now, so as we get ready to think about this, the one thing that will happen when an individual gets saved and inherits eternal life, and the reason that Jesus explained it in this way to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." When you get eternal life, you will be born from above. You will be born again. And I'll tell you how important it is. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there in the 3rd chapter of the book of John, he said this, and that's part of the thing that we want to bring out concerning the words of eternal life. Being born again is the most important thing that you'll need to know concerning. But you might want to say, "Well, how do I get there?" I'll give you that in just a minute. But listen to what Jesus went on to say to Nicodemus. He said in the 14th verse of that same chapter in John 3, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life.
Amen.
So what do we need to do? Lift up Jesus.
Amen.
Tell me more about my Jesus, as Brother preached last night. Tell me more about what Jesus can do for you. And if he's done something for you, don't keep it hid under a bushel, but let your light shine. I just say, I thought that's what we sung when we was a little boy or a little girl. Yes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We might ought to start singing that more often, right? Hide it under a bushel? No. I'll tell you, that's what we need to do. I'll let our light shine to the whole world.
Amen.
It's their only hope.
Yes, sir.
Of finding the words,
yes, sir,
of eternal life.
Amen. Yep.
He said, Jesus himself said this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, eternal life is forever.
Amen.
Forever. And when you got it, Jesus said, you've got an everlasting life. Not a temporary life, but an everlasting life when you get born again. Born from above. Now, I want to go through some of these words real quick, if God will let me. But I wrote down seven of them. And by George, I was amazed how things were just starting to unfold as we got up here. Do you remember what Pastor Nathan said at the beginning before I got up here? He said, the one thing that we need to do in order to understand, and these are words of eternal life that we don't never need to forget. He said, I beseech you. You know what that means? It means I pray. If you're ever going to find eternal life, you will have to pray between you and God. Just as the psalmist did in the 116th division of Psalms. I may go back and refer to some of these verses. I've got scriptures to back up. And that's the thing that I want to express to every one of us that are here tonight. That are truly saved and have eternal life. And you know that you got eternal life. You should be able to tell somebody. And if you don't have a very large vocabulary, you don't know a lot of scriptures. One thing you can say is if you want eternal life, you're going to have to pray to the Father.
Amen.
And that was what was done in the beginning when he even said this. He said, the disciples, let me just look at this for just a moment. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. He said, and the pains of hell got hold of me, and I found trouble and sorrow. When you find trouble and sorrow, the words of eternal life are this. You've got to beg or beseech or become a mourner so that God can hear the pleas of your dying soul that is about to be cast off into hellfire and brimstone. You know what he said? Then I called upon the name of the Lord. That's a prayer. He said, I called upon the name of the Lord, O Lord. He said, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And so tonight, one of the first things of the words of life is to understand what it means. A lot of people say, well, if you repeat a prayer, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you beseech the Lord, you beg on your behalf of your soul unto the Lord until you know that you have eternal life. Number two, you got to be born again. We've already discussed that. Be born again. I can't stress that enough. You must be born again. That's the second thing. If you're going to have eternal life, you'll have to be born again. The next thing that I want to say to you is when Jesus was going around and telling people what they needed to do in order to be saved, this is what he said in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. You know what he said? He said, these are the words of eternal life. Repent or perish. That's what Jesus said. And that's what the Bible says. And that's what exactly we need to tell people. You need to repent or you're going to perish. When do you need to do it? When the Lord calls upon you and you find trouble and sorrow. I'll tell you the words of eternal life for this. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. If you just trust him with all of your heart.
Right.
So repent or perish. The next one that we want to talk about for just a moment is also found in two different places. In the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and his unrighteousness and return unto the Lord. for, and he will abundantly pardon you and give you mercy, and he will give you, and I'm just, oh, these are all intertwined, oh, but these are the words of eternal life. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things will be added unto you. These are the words of eternal life that lead to eternal life. So seek the Lord with all your heart while you have an opportunity to do that. Okay, now, you say these are just old-time Baptist scriptures that you use all the time. You know why we do? Because they're the words of eternal life. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, you know what it says? This is what Paul said, and these are the words of eternal life. It still works. I know it's old-fashioned, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's the only way that I find in the scriptures that you're going to find eternal life. And this is what he says. And he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, and the spirit that now working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, listen to this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when he was on the cross, God loved us and he loves you.
Amen.
These are the words of eternal life. And so what do we find in this chapter? We find mercy, grace, and faith. And I'll tell you, when these are words of eternal life, when you fully understand them. A lot of people, they preach the same thing. They'll tell you the same thing. They'll even tell you to repeat these scriptures. And if you really believe them, you'll be saved. And sometimes I'll say, now that you've read these scriptures, you are saved. That's not the words of eternal life. That's the words that can send you straight to hell by using the same words if you haven't truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart between you and God. Listen to this. He says, but God, who was rich in mercy and with his great love wherewith he loved us, even so when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. And the word quickened means to make alive. I'll tell you, when you get quickened, you'll understand what the words of eternal life are. Now, he says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He says, quickened us together. Let me back up. Even so, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, he says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, and that is right now, to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, he says, for by grace are you saved, though through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now those are words of eternal life. Everything that we are claiming here today is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These are words of eternal life. And I don't have to explain too much to anybody that knows what it means when you have eternal life. But if you don't have this quickening spirit, this quickening experience, I'm telling you, you'll never understand what Jesus was talking about to Peter, who had already told it. You know what? There was another account where Peter spoke up again too. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know what? He didn't say that. He said, some say that you're Elias or one of the prophets or one of these other prophets of old. But then he said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what he said? Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. He said, but my Father in heaven. If you want to know the words of eternal life, the Heavenly Father will reveal that unto your spirit. Now, these are the words words of eternal life. Mercy, grace, and faith. It is the gift of God. The Apostle Paul said this, and I got a blessing studying this. I've always thought about the words of eternal life, but really didn't really appreciate them as much as I thought that I did. Because what did Peter say? He's the one that said, Jesus, you are the one that has the words of eternal life. But Jesus went away, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's the end in mind. Brothers and sisters, we have the words of eternal life.
Yes, we do.
Amen. We do. And the reason we do is because of what Paul said in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. He said, for the wages of sin is death. He said, but the gift of God is what? What? Eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all because of what Jesus did for us. Mm-hmm. Peter knew that. When he said, we know that you're the one. We're convinced of it. He even used the word sure. I'm absolutely sure. There's no mistaking about it. That we know the words of eternal life. Why? Because we have received the gift of God. That wondrous, amazing salvation that Jesus gave us. As Brother Nathan preached the other night. Oh my goodness, how wonderful it is to experience the salvation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't know what you're missing, sinner friend. And we that are here, I'm encouraged tonight that we still have time and opportunity to share what God has entrusted. Here it is. He has entrusted us with the words of eternal life. Let's look at a loyal church for just a moment. The loyal church was the church of Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia is a Greek word. It means brotherly love.
Yes.
You'll be able to tell a congregation of people that understand what the words of eternal life is.
Yes.
There'll be brothers and sisters that'll love one another. And it will be recognizable to the point where even if you're going and helping out an elderly person. And I know Sister Penny. I know her. And just being around her. And being around people that know the Lord, there's something that just this an aurora, an aroma, and just something that is different. It's just different, you see.
Yes.
And it's attractive. You see, the Holy Spirit has been attractive in all ages of time.
Right, yes.
He's lovely.
Yes.
And there's not another name given among heaven and whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you and I, those words that we have are all because of what Jesus Christ did for each one of us.
Yes.
At the church of Philadelphia, it says, and the angel of the church, and that angel that he's talking about is a minister or a messenger, a preacher, if you will. He said to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and no man openeth. He said, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. I'll tell you, whatever a church keeps the word of God and understands, and not only just hides the word of God of eternal life under a bushel, but lets it go out and go forth. That's what the spreading of the gospel is all about. Not just in Nashville, but all over the world, in mission fields, even in our backyard. We need to live, as has already been said, a life before our fellow man, that they'll be interested in knowing what it is.
Amen.
That we possess.
Right.
That they don't have.
Right.
That's what Peter said. Thou hast the words of eternal life. The church of Philadelphia did as well. He said, behold, I make them in the synagogue of Satan, which say to them, they are Jews and are not, and but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. What's that mean? That's introducing what I want to talk to you about. The church at Mount Calvary, the church at Murfreesboro, the church at Buffalo Springs, the church over here at Willard, the church, every local body that there is all around about, there's one thing that we need to recognize and hold on to, and that's the words of eternal life, and we need to have patience, and that word patience means we need endurance.
Yes.
We need to endure.
Right.
Let me put it this way. The people on the outside of this wall is only hope for eternal life is hearing the gospel and the witness of the gospel from people who have experienced the gift of God.
Amen.
And eternal salvation.
You're right.
That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's all of our responsibility that are saved. And even the ones that are within us. Even in this service today. He said, because thou hast kept the word of thy patience, I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold thou fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Yeah.
Now, in closing tonight, I want to go to the back to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, and I want you to think about for just the remaining part of this. And I don't know how many said before I got up here that we are a witness. If there's one thing that I'm thoroughly convinced of, that when Jesus went away, in fact, before I read this, the Lord keeps bringing it to me, and I'm just going to go ahead and go to it. He brought it to me, and I read it this morning. I said, well, they know this, but I want to tie this together. The title of the message is, Who Has the Words of Eternal Life? That is every one of us that are truly saved by God's grace. I gave just a little bit of a few words from Genesis to Revelation. It's full of words of eternal life, and it's all about Jesus Christ. But before Jesus went away, this is what he said. It says, he brought the 11 disciples and went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, set them apart. This is the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. You know these verses of scriptures. Why is there 11? Because Judas, who wasn't one of them, but Jesus said he was a devil, hung himself and took him out of following Jesus. Even though Peter said, all of us are sure that you are the one that has the words of eternal life.
Right.
But then he went away. And when he went away, he left a commission for this church.
Right.
And every true church is still here on this earth.
Right.
That he himself set up. And he's still the head and founder. Yeah. And this is what he said. Yeah. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, just like they did. Remember how this all started? There was 12 that stayed. Many other disciples went away.
Yeah.
There's a lot of disciples that have gone away, hadn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
In our day,
yes.
A lot of empty pews right now in a lot of places. People that have had the privilege and honor, and I'm not fussing, I'm not. We need them back, every one of them. We need them back here and we need them out there. We need every person that has truly been saved by God's grace to be a witness,
yes,
to the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Jesus gave that commission. Jesus spake and said unto them, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was Matthew's account. Now let's look at Luke's for just a moment. In the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, this is very important. Let's go to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Let that sink in. Peter said, these are the words of eternal life. Jesus is telling them, these are the words that I spoke to you. One of the things that I left off in these seven words of eternal life is probably the most important, but Jesus is going to capture it right here. And that is the one thing that is really true of a church that has the words of eternal life is they have the true gospel.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The truth.
Yes.
John the Apostle, he was very happy and even wrote an epistle. He said, I am so happy that my children are still what? In the truth.
Yes.
And upholding the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said before he went away, he had already was buried. He had already died on the cross. He was already buried. He was already resurrected. And if you look up here, he even said, have you any meat? Remember that sermon? And he's getting ready to go away.
Yeah.
And he says, before I go away, he get him a little food there, got a fish, got a honeycomb, ate that. After he had already been resurrected, and then he comes up to him, and then he follows it up with this. He says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He says that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and of the prophets and of the Psalms concerning me. What is that? The words of eternal life. All of it. What Moses had written. What the prophets had written. What the Psalms. They had been singing for thousands of years. The crucifixion of Jesus. How that His bones would not even be broken. So many things. Pointing to Jesus Christ, who is the words of eternal life. And they're still here. Oh, I am so thankful and grateful they're still here. That means there's still hope.
Yes.
And he said, after he said that, then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. What is that? That's the words of eternal life. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of every service that we have, is Jesus.
Amen.
Crucified, buried, and risen again. And that He's still alive. Because He said, as I go away, I'm coming back in like manner on these clouds. But listen to what He said. And He said, and that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in His name. He said, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What did He say while He was here? Repent or perish. Be born again. You got to repent. You got to seek the Lord until you know that you're saved by the grace of God. That's exactly what John the Baptist preached. That's exactly what Peter preached. That's exactly what Jesus Christ preached. And that's what we're still preaching today.
Amen.
And I'll stand on it until I die.
Amen.
Because it's the words of eternal life.
Amen.
But then what did he say? Ye are witnesses.
Yes.
Did you remember what Jesus said back there in Mark? He said that persecutions would come because we are what? Preaching the words of eternal life. Okay, I'm going to tell you what this word witness means in the Greek. It comes from the word martyr.
Yeah.
Many have given their lives for the words of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
And others have been thinking that they were preaching it, but they didn't have what God has wanted to give everyone. And they've made a lot of money. They've made a lot of popularity. But I'm telling you right now, if you and I that are here tonight and truly saved by God's grace,
yes,
we are witnesses of these things.
Amen.
So today, he says, "And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you.
Yes.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high."
Yes.
On the day of Pentecost that came,
yes,
the church was already in existence. We know that it was, because Jesus even addressed the church in the book of Matthew, telling them what they needed to do as far as honoring discipline.
Yes.
Now, how could Pentecost have never happened yet, and how could Jesus be instructing the little church when a brother trespasses, you go to him and talk to him? He said, if you can't get him to come back, go and take a witness with you. He said, if he won't tell you, he said, come and tell it to the church, didn't he?
Right.
As all before Pentecost.
Amen.
Right? It was. And the church, in the first business meeting they had, what'd they do? They replaced the one that wasn't a Galilean, Judas Iscariot, to take his position as a bishopric. That's another sermon in itself. But what I'm trying to convey to everyone, and I'm convinced more now than I was when I started, that we have the responsibility,
amen,
to ensure that the words of eternal life,
amen,
continue on. Until when? Until the Lord says, time shall be no more.
Right.
And it's all finished. Let me go on and say this. Jesus' word said all has been fulfilled.
Yes.
It has. The only thing that we're waiting on is for him to come and get his bride.
Amen.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you right now, when he comes to get the bride, it'll be the one that's still preaching, teaching, practicing, and telling people,
right,
the words of eternal life.
Right.
And if they're not, it'll be like them other six churches, Ephesus, Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea. See a lot of examples of that nowadays, don't we? And all those churches of Asia Minor that went out. The only one. Only one or two of them he couldn't even find a fault in. But brothers and sisters, I pray that he won't find that fault.
Yes.
That he'll find a remnant somewhere that are still holding on,
amen,
to the words of eternal life.
Right.
Sinner friend, I don't know how much longer it will last. I really don't. The way things are going, and as a witness to you right now, just look around. It's not just this church. It's churches all across this land and country and afar.
Yes.
Over the seas.
Where there's a great falling away.
And the thing that I have noticed is the reason of the falling away is because people don't even like hearing the words of eternal life.
Of eternal life not being revealed to you in such a way that